Professional wrestling, like real life, is full of surprises. Hi, everyone. It's Freddie Prinze Jr. And it's no surprise I can talk wrestling all day, any day. Kind of like how State Farm agents can talk insurance and help you choose the right coverage. When it comes to important insurance decisions, let State Farm support you with the coverage you need backed with 24/7 support. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
This is He Said, Ella Dijo with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
So we are so happy, He Said, Ella Dijo listeners, because we have listened to this. She's an amazing guest. Over 1.8 million followers on Instagram. She is a force to be reckoned with when it comes to gaming, podcasting, and WWE. She's a fellow proud Puerto Rican and can be seen weekly on WWE SmackDown, airing Fridays at 8, 7 Central on Fox. She also has a new podcast, Selvix and Charlie Girl, with fellow WWE superstar Dakota Kai, which has been described...
Dakota Kai.
I'm sorry. Which has been described as cyberpunk gamer podcast.
Oh, this is going to be fun. Let's bring her in.
Selena Vega.
So, Selena, thank you for being here with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
I was just commenting. Look at that. Explain to me your backdrop. This is like, I know you're into anime and stuff. Is that what all, that's that what that is?
Most of it, yeah. It's anime, gaming, all kinds of different statues, and just my little nerdy things, you know. But I've always been a huge fan of that stuff since I was a kid. So it's nice to just have a... They always say, like, okay, when you get adult money, you get to spend it on all the stuff you wanted as a kid and no one can say anything. Perfect example.
I want to talk to you a little bit more about gaming for sure, but let's start with WWE because, you know, as a kid I grew up, that was a big deal to me. Were you a big WWE fan?
I was a lucha libre because I grew up in Puerto Rico and I was obsessed with what we called lucha libre, but I was into local lucha libre. So I was not as much as in like WWE.
Because like the clones and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But I remember like, and this is a true story. I don't know if you know this because you're a fellow Puerto Rican. There, we had a, a champion called Carlitos Colon. I don't know if you have ever heard of Carlitos Colon, right? And Carlitos Colon, I lived for Carlitos Colon. Carlitos Colon was like our number one wrestler. We had the Invader. We have so many.
First of all, this cracks me up that she even knows Abdullah, this, because I'm shocked that she was into
Abdullah the Butcher. I mean, we have so many.
Abdullah the Butcher?
Abdullah the Butcher, Andre the Giant.
Oh, I know Andre the Giant.
He'll come to Puerto Rico to fight, and it was huge. But Carlitos Colon lived in my same neighborhood, and my street at the very end was a park. And this is a true story, because I wanted my dad wanted me to be a runner. It has a sprinter. No, but a track and field. Because I was really, really fast. But my mom wanted me to be a dancer. My dad wanted me to be an athlete. And he will train me and he will take me to the park. And Carlitos Colon will do his jogging, right, at that park. And it will be like a highlight every week for me to go to the park just to sit down and see Carlitos Colon train.
That's funny.
I loved him. So,
who was your inspiration? Because, you know, like my generation, I grew up obviously Hulk Hogan, and it was Ultimate Warrior and Randy Savage and all these guys. What inspired you to go into WWE? I know you grew up in New York. What was the impetus to this rise?
Rey Mysterio, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, Rey Mysterio was like everything to me when I was a kid, especially because, I mean, I'm only 5 feet on a very, very good day. So for me watching him, I'm like, wow, if he can do that and he can be champion, like, why can't I, you know? So watching him and Lita and the Hardys and stuff. So it was those kind of, you know, Eddie Guerrero, like, it's cool to be, you know, watching Rey as a kid. I remember thinking, like, guys, this was Halloween Havoc 97, him versus Eddie, and then thinking like, oh, I really want to do this now. And now I'm getting to be in a faction with him in the LWO. So it's getting to watch him as a kid and now working alongside him is like still mind blowing to me.
Yeah, that's incredible.
How does that process even start? So as a young girl, and you decide, I want to go into wrestling, professional wrestling. Did you wrestle as a kid? Were you, I mean, like in school and all that, or how does that even, what is that journey like? It's fascinating to me.
So I started training with my cousin. His name is Amazing Red. He was in Impact Wrestling. He was very much known throughout the indie circuit. And I started training with him when I was like 17. And then I started going to different training schools with different people, a lot of his friends in New Jersey, like Jay Lethal. And then I got to go to North Carolina and work with the Hardys and the Hurricane. And then I got to go to Florida. I had my first tryout with WWE back in 2010. And I didn't end up making it to WWE until 2017. So it took a very long time.
So there's an underground circuit of wrestling, essentially, that you're sort of climbing the ranks, and then you get those opportunities to go audition for the, you know, the major organization that everybody knows about. And that's obviously a massive break. Like in our world with acting, like there's these moments, right, when you break. That's how it starts. I had no idea.
What are the sports? What are the sports that you have to, besides wrestling? Are there other disciplines that you took growing up to become like a WWE star?
So for me, I wanted to do, my mom wanted to get me into dancing, and I was never really big into dance. I did it because it just was something else. I mean, I did step, I did, you know, I loved baseball and swimming and stuff. But when I watched wrestling, and I knew I couldn't start it yet because you have to be obviously like 18 to start. I started a little earlier than that. But my mom was like, well, what do you like about it? Like, besides the in-ring stuff, what else did you like about it? And for me, it was, well, I love, you know, seeing like, you know, Lita and Trish Stratus go again, you know, going at it backstage and yelling at each other, and, you know, the storylines between The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin. She's like, okay, so you like the backstage, like the drama of it. So
the entertainment of it all. Yeah.
Yeah. So start acting. And then that's how I started acting as a kid. I went into it in high school, did it in college, and that kind of helped, you know, start that, because there's so many layers, obviously, to being a WWE superstar. So to have that acting background definitely helped when it came to displaying the emotion in the ring, but also backstage.
That's amazing. The height, because you're saying you're petite, right? You're tiny. Mm-hmm. Usually wrestlers that are part of that world of entertainment, right? Are the girls much taller than you?
Most of them are. I'd say the range is probably anywhere from 5'4 to 5'8", something like that. There's a few of us that are around 5'2", but most of them are around that 5'4", 5'5" range.
What is the advantage do you think you have by being so petite compared to the one that is like you're fighting somebody that is like 5'8"?
Well, they won't have ankles after that, but no, I'm kidding. No, but it's, yeah, it's, you know, you get, you're quick to the ground. You're trying to like get everybody down to your size. So you have like these little plans and strategies that you go into the ring trying to, obviously like someone like Nia Jax, who's probably, I think like 5'10" or something like that. And I look at her and I'm like, okay, knees, have to go for the knees. And like, you just have like these little strategies and making sure that you, as long as they can't catch you, then you're okay for the time being.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I want to ask you about your moment of, I know you're proud Puerto Rican and you got to be a part of your WWE Backlash in a sold out crowd at Coliseo. I'm going to say that correctly, right?
Coliseo.
Coliseo de Puerto Rico, Jose Miguel.
Aguilot.
Aguilot. I wasn't going to get that word.
Right.
Okay. I've been there. I've been to this Coliseum. I've been there before. We go to Puerto Rico all the time. What was that like to be in Puerto Rico? And I mean, I'm sold out crowd, probably going insane for you. Puerto Rican. That must be an incredible feeling.
I always say this, and then I kind of stop myself, and I'm like, besides my wedding day, but it was like the best day of my life. Like,
that's awesome, by far.
I mean, I've never experienced anything like that. It was almost as if, you know, it didn't matter, because obviously there's a difference between like, oh, you're born in New York, but you're Puerto Rican, or you're born on the island, you're Puerto Rican. Like, there's so many people that, you know, they'll kind of like to pick it apart. But that day in that ring in that moment, it didn't matter where, you know, you were Puerto Rican through. There didn't matter what hair color you had, what, how much Spanish you spoke, nothing. It mattered just that you're there, you're our girl, we're going to support you. And it was just, I felt like I was like in a weird dream sequence, because even I was fighting my emotions the whole time, because I knew, I was like, I have to at least go in there and just get it done and just do it. Like, I was really fighting, and Ray was just like, Selena, don't do that. Just be in the moment. Just whatever happens, happens. Just feel it. And that's when it's going to be the best for you. So I was like, okay. And right before I went, I was like, okay, I'm good. I got this. And then as soon as I went out and I opened up the flag and I heard like the crowd come up, I was like, I'm done for. This is it.
That's so awesome. Are you planning to go, like, you want to go back again anytime soon?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I have a lot of family members too who are there, which is really cool because they don't get to see me all the time. And we're here in, you know, New York or wherever it is, New Jersey. Like, but most of my family's in New York and Connecticut. But, you know, my family over there in San Juan, they don't really get to see me all the time. So be able to have them there was just so, so cool. And it's funny because my grandmother was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, somebody else called me and said that they're somehow related to us all of a sudden. And they, you know, they said they know you. And, you know, so I'm like, I want to go back. And I feel like it's also gave me such a motivation. Cause sometimes, especially then, at that point in my career specifically, before that happened, there was a lot of like, oh my God, like, this is hard. It's like, you know, the constant grind, it's really difficult. Like, I'm not getting the opportunity that I want. I really feel like I want to go for this. And like, you could see so much for yourself, but you're just like fighting the grind every day. And it gets hard. I mean, you guys know, obviously, like the grind can get hard. And it was as if it completely like restarted me and just gave me a whole new appreciation for everything. And, you know, I think it's cool because now I'm like, telling my husband, okay, so we're gonna go back now, right? I just hope that they do a WrestleMania there, because I felt like also, right? Like, I just think that Puerto Rico was one of the best crowds that we've ever had. And I think that they also, because it was 18 years since WWE was there prior to that event. So it was as if they were like, oh no, we're gonna make sure you guys come back. So they went over and beyond. Like, they went all out as a crowd.
Is that the event that Bad Bunny attended? Or that's something else? Because I know that's the one. I think he will. I think he's the one to bring it back.
He's a big WWE fan.
If he wants to bring it back, I'm sure he'll produce it.
I think that'd be great.
That'd be incredible if he does it. I wonder if he's cooking something.
I don't know.
Regarding to that.
That's The Rock. who's cooking something.
No, but you know what I mean. I'm just silly. Like, you know what? Even The Rock, even Dwayne should cook something over there. That'd be huge.
Dwayne's got his hands full now. He's like on the board of the whole organization that just bought the WWE.
But all he needs to do is put his name, and then people in Puerto Rico will.
What would
put
be
it
like
together,
your ultimate goal in WWE success? What are you aiming for?
Initially I wanted to be able to say that I was a WWE superstar, and that came from, you know, loving it as a kid and going to events with my dad and wanting to accomplish, because he wanted to do that as well, like to be a WWE superstar. But like with three jobs and kids, like that just wasn't going to be a thing. So I was like, as a kid, like, I'm going to do it. Like 4 years old, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be the wrestler of the family. And then getting to now do that for me and to do that for him was such a big accomplishment. And I didn't think, you know, I was going to have like a first time ever or like a history making moment in the WWE books is like to be the first ever Queen of the Ring. And I got to do that. Cool. Be a tag team champion. I got to do that. But I've never had singles gold before. So I would love to be like the women's champion. Like that's my goal.
And I'm sure just like in, you know, boxing and even UFC, all that, like WWE, there's a lot you can't control, right? Like, I mean, there's a lot of politics. You know what I mean? I'm just like in the UFC, like you want to fight, you don't get the fight. Dana White doesn't line the fight up. You're not going to get that chance. Like there are probably tons of hurdles of politics that you have to deal with in WWE, right? That could be completely out of your control. Even if you're ready, you might not get that shot, but you just have to keep proving yourself. Is that the deal?
Yeah. And sometimes it just lines up with, you know, what venue are we going to? Where are we trying to get, you know, crowd wise, where are we trying to get more viewers in? What part of the world? Or, you know, there's so many different aspects to it. Or like, you know, who's getting a part in a video game that we need to push? Who's getting, you know, like they map things out like yearly. So they kind of know where they want to go. And obviously they get some surprises along the way and they have to, you know, change things up. But it's definitely, zero of it is in our control. The only thing that is once we get out there and making sure that you deliver during the chances that they do give you.
Makes sense.
Do you want to be able to continue exploring the acting thing? I know you're lending your voice to like video games and movies, but do you see yourself in front of the camera and actually transitioning? Like, is it Tia? What's her name of the MMA fighter?
Carano.
Yeah, like a Tia Carano.
Gia,
like, do you see yourself doing that? Do you know what? I can be a freaking the next Michelle Rodriguez, you know?
I mean, I would love that. I mean, I got to do Fighting With My Family. Like, Dwayne was the producer on that. So he asked me to you know, be the bad guy in the movie, which is really fun. But I think after that, first of all, it was one of the most fun times I've ever had just in life. But I was like, I think I actually really want to do this. And I had no idea that it was going to be something I was going to really enjoy to that degree, because it was just foreign to me in the sense where I knew I would plug my acting into wrestling and not have to do it in film. So it became something that I'm like, wow, I'd really love to do this. And I think at some point I would like to transition into that. But here's the other side of it. It's like, same thing with wrestling. You're starting from the bottom and you have to pay your dues to get to where you want to go. I mean, so I imagine it's the same thing there. So it's just a grind that I have to be ready for also.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura Podcast Network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick
and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us. Oh,
yeah. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to switch gears for a second because this is actually, this, I don't even know if we'll, if you'll have heard of this, but maybe you have. So you're a gamer. I am not a gamer, but I'm an investor in a big gamer organization called NRG. I don't know if you've heard of that org, but I just found out, I was talking to our president. We just won North America for League of Legends, and we went the farthest of any American team in Asia and all this stuff. All this world I've been learning a ton about. You now are doing a podcast dedicated to gaming. So you're that big of a gamer. What is your game? What's your get up and I got to do, or I got to go compete online. What is it?
So there's a lot. I'm really into fighting games though. Like fighting games is like it for me, because I think with Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat and Tekken are like the top three, and they've done such a good job of, you know, having some fun fighting. Like eventually you get tired of like the back and forth, okay, round for round, but they've also incorporated really amazing storylines, and that's where I get super involved. I'm like, ooh, okay. Plus I do take a lot of my inspiration from the characters as far as what, you know, if they're really cool looking, I'm like, oh, can I add that to my outfit somehow, or my entrance piece, or how can I add this to my, there's some of the moves that I've actually taken from there too. Yeah. And I'm like, how can I make this work on an actual human? Or like taking a character, like even just someone like Jin Kazama or Kazuya Mishima from Tekken and saying, wow, he was such a good bad guy and I'm a bad guy right now. I like how he said that. How can I apply this to my storyline? So it's just cool. Like, yeah, dissecting characters. And I mean, that's something I love doing as a kid too, is just, what do I like about, you know, this moment when I got to see, you know, Kazuya Mishima finally throw his dad off the cliff after he did it. Like, you know, that moment, like what I felt, how can I dissect that to apply it in the ring so that I get to make the fans feel what I felt in a similar way?
It's interesting. I've never, you know, I grew up playing games on Nintendo. I mean, it was just, that was the types of games I played, but you're talking Street Fighter, all those things, but
yeah, there's a big difference between Nintendo.
Well, I mean, that was the foundation of gaming.
30 years ago.
No, but that was the foundation of gaming. And what I'm saying, my point that I'm getting to.
I remember Pac-Man.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking Atari. I actually grew up playing Atari, if we're really going to go way back. Frogger didn't have much of a storyline, neither did Donkey Kong. But it's true what you say, and I never really thought about that. There, gamers probably often play for that backstory and that character development because, I mean, I'm just coming to this realization now, but as you think about gaming and the evolution of it, there is, look, I did a video game once, believe it or not. It was called Beyond Two Souls with, who's now Elliot Page, Willem Dafoe and myself and this guy, Kadeem Hardison. And it was this 1,000-page script and we only got these tiny little pieces. And it was the first video game ever where we each were playing entirely like our bodies, our voice and our movements. It was the first game ever made to do that. Mm-hmm. And it was a massive story. It was choose your own adventure. Everything the player would do, you'd choose what's going to happen with my character and that character, it's et cetera.
Yeah.
And I never really thought about that. You're right. There's such a backstory. And now to hear that that actually is a big part of what you use even in your own performance and your character development in WWE is fascinating to me. That's really cool.
It's crazy.
Yeah, so your podcast is going to be dissecting all that kind of stuff. That's what you want to talk about.
So it's a lot of that. It's so my friend who I do this with, her name is Charlie. She's a huge gamer too. She's very much like I call her like the gaming Bible when it comes to that kind of stuff. Like she knows a lot of the, you know, backstories and characters and how to like what the, I don't want to say the cheat codes are, but kind of. But me, I get to bring more of the anime aspect to it also because she doesn't know too much about anime. So it's like a blend of the two. And we always talk about how do we apply that to wrestling and how can, you know, because before, like right now, I'm a good guy. So luckily I get to share this kind of nerdy side with the fans. But prior to that, I was like a total horrible, horrible bad guy. And I remember looking at, there was a few different bad guys that I would base my character on. And then just even just some of their lines, I would take it and say, okay, how can I put this into Zelina's mind and what would she say to make it so that people could feel that evil, like whatever he was thinking, like how can I apply that to her? And eventually it led to me getting the voice actor for one of my favorite characters to do my intro. Like when every time I would hit the ring and my music would play, he would say, "All hail the queen, Queen Zelina," and then I would walk out. So very it was cool. Like blend of everything. This is like a crazy full circle.
See, I think WWE fans will find this fascinating because it's one thing, it's like what we get asked a lot even as actors. It's one thing to see the performance, right? And see what you do on stage. It's another thing for a real fan to understand what goes into that performance. What's your preparation? How did you, like you said, come up with your intro song? How did you come up with your name? How did you, your walk, your attitude, this character, that character, when you're in the ring and how that evolves? I find that fascinating because there's so much work put into it. It's not just go in there and fight. You're not just given this persona, then you just have to go act it out. You're writing a lot of the script of what you do.
Yeah. Do you guys, and I guess to flip it on you guys for a second, but do you guys get to do that at all for your characters that you do, you know, get to explore that when you're given a character, or do you have to kind of just like find yourself in the parameters of who this person is that you're given?
You know, that's actually, I think it's a great question. It's a combination.
It depends on the material. It depends on the people involved. You know how open they are for you to actually come in with a proposal. Oh, this is the way I see it. Can I make these changes? This doesn't speak organic to me. People don't talk like that. You know, sometimes they're very gracious and they allow you to have an opinion. And I've been in situations where they tell you there's a coma, you pause. You know, okay. It's very restricted. It's very specific, especially when it comes to comedy. You know, comedy writers are so specific about how they want the joke to be placed and said for it to be effective. So it depends in the situation. When you do like usually independent movies, little movies that they allow you to actually have a voice and an interpretation is beautiful. You know,
yeah.
I did this thing in Spanish. It was as a TV show, as a series in Spanish. It was four actresses. And I think to me, first of all, I was speaking in my first language, which was already so much freedom. But the work is pretty magical because they allowed us to just be free and say, you know, you don't have to stick to the page. I want to see what you have to bring to the table. And the improvisation that went on, everybody within their characters was just the most incredible experience ever. And it shows when you look at the material on screen, everybody is so free. You watch something like Succession, you know, on is it HBO?
HBO Max, yeah.
HBO Max, you know, that won everything. But it's so evident that those actors were allowed the luxury just to be and just do what was right for the character. And it is so, you can tell when you see that or you see a typical network TV show and you see the acting, it's like night and day.
But I also think it's a combination, no matter what, as an actor, and maybe it's very similar even in your position, but you're given a script, right? Mm. Even to earn the job, hundreds of people are reading the same script. So you're still bringing your own interpretation of the character to the page.
Right.
And at the end of the day, they're either going to like your version or like somebody else's version. Now, that could be a look, that could be a demeanor, that could be an attitude, but it's still what you're bringing. I think as you, and she's right, independent, you might have more freedom. Big, big, big movie stars have a bit more freedom. If you're on a show like Succession, they probably gain even more freedom as the seasons go on. Same with like my show, I'm in a fifth season. As the seasons go on, I have more of a say in who I think the character is. And it evolves, and as you've been on shows longer, you did, you know, four seasons of a show, you have more of an opinion of what's going on with those characters. So I think you're always bringing something, and the she's right, some creators don't give you that freedom, or directors, or you know, writers in general, but it's a collaborative event for sure.
You know what just happened to me? I was in Atlanta shooting something that it was, the IP was a romance novel that I guess it's a very huge, like best New York Times bestseller, whatever romance novel. So I go in and I do my work. You know, I know my lines. I do my homework. I show up to do, there's no rehearsal time. There's no table reads. I just show up to work. Yeah. And a lot of the dialogue was, okay, it's beautiful, but it's not the way in a million years I will speak, you know? So, mm-hmm. And when I act, I improvise a lot and I add a lot of little things, you know, that it's, that it makes me comfortable. And I'll never forget. So I'm doing the scene. So we're rehearsing, you know, we're blocking with the cameras, and the director comes over and says, listen, you can't change any words, like nothing. And I'm like, I just added, like, you know? And he's like, no, you can't do it. I'm going, but why? And he goes, sorry, I should have said this to you before. And maybe your team should have said something, but because this audience that we're aiming for are like fanatics of romance novels, mm-hmm. they all the scripts are very much verbatim taken from the book. So the scenes are written in the book. So the audience gets so upset if you change anything, because it's almost like they know this writing by heart. So if you come in with your interpretation, they get really, really upset. So you
cannot change anything.
I freaking died. This is the first day that I show up for work. And I was like, if I would have known this, I think my decision would have been different about taking the job or not.
Right.
Just because I understand it, but it's dialogue because it's a romance novel. Who speaks like a freaking romance novel? You know what I mean? So I was like, it's doable for me because I will just change it. I will make it more me and it'll be a lot of fun. When I'm telling you that it took me hours to be able to be like, Ross, cut it out. You're here already. Respect the material. You know, it is what it is. Just do what you're told and freaking don't change a word. But it was hard at the beginning. I was like, oh my God, I'm saying it and my stomach wants to turn because it's like, what the heck? But at the end I did it. And listen, it's going to be beautiful and it was effective. And I guess the audience of that type of material, they're going to be very happy.
Right.
Do you have that freedom in wrestling to bring, Or yes. Is it very, you have a lot of freedom?
Yeah. It depends on who is, I would say, in charge at the time, but it depends on, so for instance, Triple H, who's my boss, I was working with him. There's NXT, SmackDown, and Raw. So it's three different shows. NXT initially from 2017 to 2018, I believe, is when I was working with Triple H. And once he kind of saw how I was and what I brought to the character that he was looking for, he was like, okay, yeah, I trust you. Just here's a skeleton of what we want. Just fill it with the meat of what you think fits best.
That's great.
Because one of the points that he would say to me is like, I don't know what a girl from Queens, like Puerto Rican girl from Queens, New York, I don't know what she would say, but you do. So however you think you should put that into this, do it.
And by the way, that's very valid. I wish a lot of people in entertainment thought that way, because it's true, right? Like, you know what your persona would bring to a situation. If you're playing a Puerto Rican girl, it'd be very different for somebody else who's not Puerto Rican to say, nah, you'd do it like this. Be like, no, I wouldn't. I'm Puerto Rican. This is how I would do it. So it's a very valid way of collaborating.
I have a question for you, because you must have a lot of young women, you know, that look up to you. You have a huge social media presence, you know, and what you do is actually pretty cool. You know, to be a female Latino wrestler, it's really, really cool. What would be your main advice that you would give to all these girls that go, oh my God, Selena Vega, I love wrestling. I want to be a part of that world. What would be the main advice?
So I would say the first thing is never take no for an answer, because I was told every kind of no possible. You're too small. You're not pretty enough. You're not, you know, you don't have the blonde hair and the big boobs and the stuff. And, you know, there's so many things, you know, as to why. And even at one point it was just like, oh, and someone who wasn't even involved with WWE at all, they're like, oh, you're not going to make it. Like, you're not a white girl with, you know, that was a big part of it. It was like, I wanted to do this to show, yeah, you don't have to be just the white girl with blonde hair and big boobs to make it in WWE. Like, WWE is a nice melting pot of all these beautiful cultures, and they do a really good job of celebrating who you are. And that's why I think they put me in the stage of, you know, Puerto Rico for Backlash. You know, it was to celebrate that. And I think that's such a nice thing that we're able to do. And it's just never take no for an answer. Celebrate who you are and who, you know, whatever it is that you're representing, because I feel like you're always going to be a representation for someone, whether that is because of your culture, whether it's because you're a gamer, because you're a nerd, because you're, you know, you like cats. I have 10 cats, you know? So it's like, you're representing for people in so many ways. And yeah, I think that's just like a cool thing that you get to do for other people, is just to say like, well, if she can make it, why can't I?
Would you advise, if you ever had a little daughter, like a little girl, would you be happy if she says, I want to be like mom, I want to be a wrestler?
Yeah, I would. Mm-hmm. I would. I know that it's difficult, because I know from my mom, she was very scared. She was very, very scared. She was afraid that I was going to be exploited. She was afraid that I was going to get hurt. Right. And, you know, but for me, now seeing how wrestling has progressed and how WWE is and the landscape is now, with everybody in charge and everyone that's, you know, really pushing for female wrestling, I'd be stoked on it.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, this is great.
This is incredible. Yeah. So can you tell us where people can find you? We'll talk about the podcast, the name, and
Zelvix and Charlie Girl, correct?
How do you say it? Zelvix.
Zelvix, yes.
Zelvix and Charlie Girl, and I it's sort of described as you describe it. I want to hear you describe it, because I have a note of how to describe it. I want you to describe the podcast so our listeners know.
Well, it's I'm curious how yours says it, because it started out as something that was just for gamers, but it's evolved and just been more inclusive to people who are just nerds overall and love gaming and wrestling and anime and just, you know, people who can relate to two best friends just being total nerds with each other and just having a good time and just exploring all kinds of different games and, you know, different things that, you know, we even just got recently, we got tattoos, Pokemon tattoos, you know, just because we hit a sub goal, you know? So it's fun. It's something that we really love including the fans and just having fun. Yeah.
That's perfect. I think it's a perfect description. It's two great genres meeting. You got WWE and you got gaming, which is huge.
Next time you go to PR, to the big Coliseum to fight, we should go. Let's be there. It'll be awesome.
I would love that. I would absolutely love that for sure.
Beautiful. Well, thank you, Selena. You're wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So nice to meet you guys.
Nice meeting you too.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye. That was awesome. So I've been a WWE fan. I mean, Dylan, I think, would get a kick out of going to a WWE event. I've actually never been to a live event, but I grew up a huge fan, had all the characters. I mean, I've never had a chance to talk to, I mean, I guess in this sense, I mean, we know something, we met The Rock, we know The Rock, you know, something like that, but like talking about the past and how you get there, what do you do? And the drive to become a WWE star is really cool. So that was fun.
How much is it choreographed? I wanted to ask her, but I didn't want to be like tricky. Like,
well, it sounds like
ridiculous.
There's some freedom. I mean, I'm assuming some is, and I, you know, there are politics. I don't know. And I also didn't want to go into the behind the scenes of what WWE is, but I know it is very physical. People get hurt all the time.
In terms of who's going to win and who's not going to win, is it already set up or they actually battle?
Well, we just had her on. We should have asked all that. You can't ask me. I don't know.
No, but I didn't want to ask her, like, listen, is this for real? Okay, because she might be offended. What if it's super for real?
So we need part two, behind the scenes, BTS of the WWE.
Because I think me growing up, the lucha libre that are Carlitos Colón against Abdullah or the Invader and all that, 100% it to me was real. I'll see blood all the time. They'll take a fork.
They get hurt.
His forehead was destroyed because of forks and spoons, and they will use like tools. And
what
yeah,
the heck?
I swear to you.
Why y'all stabbing each other with forks?
Stabbing.
That's what goes on in the Puerto Rican wrestling circuit.
Yes, unless it was all fake, but I will remember. Oh, and his forehead was destroyed.
This is intense.
So I don't know if nowadays.
All right, we'll get part
like John
two.
Cena and all that. The twin girls, like, are they actually fighting and knocking themselves out, or is it like 1, 2, 3 I'm gonna punch you, but then we have a choreography and then we go back to fighting, but then like how
understanding
does it work?
Is a combination of all of that.
Got it.
We need to have her back for part two. I don't have the answers. How come you didn't ask?
You were doing all the
you're
questions.
The one that had that question. You just had that question. All right.
Because she's a rock star and she's incredible. Yeah, I don't want to be
she's
like,
crushing it.
So tell me, like, do you really get beat?
She's
I didn't
crushing
want
it
to ask. But all anyway, right. She was amazing.
Everybody check her out. Yeah. Love you.
Love you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to write us a review and tell us what you think.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, check us out at Iset Ella Dijo or send us an email, ericandross@iheartradio.com. He said, Ella Dijo is part of iHeartRadio's My Cultura podcast network.
See you next time.
Bye.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma.
Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. 19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.